ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कांटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 2, द प्रीटेक्स्ट महाराज निमि मीट्स विथ 9 योगेंद्रस। We saw that Maharaj Rishabhdev has 100 sons and he instructed very sternly his sons about the necessity to come above the platform of bodily conception and by performing severe austerities but divine in nature in order to gain the Brahma Sokhyam, means the Sukha or the happiness in transcendental realm. So, out of 100 sons, the eldest was Bharat and he was a pure devotee, but at the same time he had to spend other two lives to get liberated and go back home back to Godhead that we saw. Significant is that the whole planet was celebrated on his name as Bharatavarsha. Then the 9 remaining sons of Rishabhdev became, 9 of the remaining sons, they were the rulers of 9 islands. And 81 sons became Brahmanas or twice born, and they initiated the Vedic path of productive activities, Karmakanda. So 81 plus 9 plus 1, right? So how many are there? 91. So now the remainder of the 9 we are talking about. नवा भवन महाभागा मुनयः हि अर्थसंसिनः श्रमणाः व्रतरसनाः
आत्मविद्या
विशारदाः कवि हवि अंतरिक्षः प्रबुद्ध पिप्पलायन आविर्होत्र अथ also Drumila. Chamas and Karbhajana. Navabhavan Mahabhaga Munayohi Artha Samsinaha Shramana Vata Rasana Atmavidya Visharada Kavirhir Vihantantarikshaha Prabuddha Pippalayana Avirhotra Atho Drumila Chamasakarabhajanah Navabhavan Mahabhaga Munayohyarthasamshinah Shramanavatarasana Atmavidyavisharadah Kavirhirvirantarikshah Prabuddha Pippalayanah Avirhutra Thodrumilah Shyamasat Karabhajanah Nava Bhavan Mahabhaga Munayo Hyartha Samshinah Shramana Vatarasana Atma Vidya Visharada Kavirhi Antarikshah Prabuddha Pippalayanah Avirhutratho Drumila Chamasakarbhajanah. Nawab, nine, Abhavan, there were Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate souls, Munayaha, the sages, he indeed, Artha Samsinaha, engage in explaining the absolute truth, Shramanaha, thus exert in great endeavor. Vatarasanaha, dressed by the wind, means naked. Atma Vidya, in spiritual science. Visharadaha, learn it. Kavi Havi Antarikshaha, Kavi Havir and Antariksha. Prabuddha Pippalayanaha, Prabuddhan Pippalayan, Avirhutra, Avirhutra, Atho, also, Drumilaha, Drumila, Chamasaha, Karabhajanaha, Chamasa and Karabhajan. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The nine remaining sons of Rishabh were greatly fortunate sages who worked vigorously to spread the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They wandered about naked and were very well versed in the spiritual science. Their names were Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayana, Avirutra, Drumil, Chamasa and Karabhajana. Nimi, the king of Videha, asked the following nine questions of nine Yogendras, the saintly sons of Rishabh. First, what is the highest good? This will be asked in chapter number 2, verse number 30. What are the religious principles, natural proclivities and behavior, speech, an outward symptom of a Bhagavat, a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord? That was the second question. What is the external energy of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord? Fourth is, how can one become dissociated from this Maya? Fifth is, what is the true identity of Brahman? Sixth, what are these three types of karma, namely karma based on enjoyment of the fruity work, karma offered to the Supreme Lord, and nishkarmya? Seventh question was, what are the various pastimes of the various incarnations of God? And eighth is, what is the aim of destination of one who is against the Supreme Lord and devoid of bhakti, in other words, a non-devotee? Ninth is, what are the respective colors, forms and names of the four Yuga avatars and four incarnations of the Supreme Lord who appeared in the four ages, and what is the process of worshipping each of them? The transcendental answers to the inquiries were given by the great devotees Kavir, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayan, Avirotra, Drumil, Chamas and Karbhajana. These nine Paramahamsas answered the nine questions each in turn in the following verses, that is, the numbers are there. So, Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalataya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikakanta Sri Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So nine remaining sons of Rishabh were greatly fortunate sages who worked vigorously to spread knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They wandered about naked and were very well versed in the spiritual science. Their names were Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayan, Avirhutra, Drumil, Chamas and Karbhajan. So yesterday we saw the purpose of the begetting the children in order to serve the cause of Lord Vishnu. There is very interesting historical record of King Rishabhdev. He was liberated. So when he entrusted the kingdom to his eldest son Bharat, he took off and wandered about naked, even in public places. He was so much out of the bodily conception that later, in the, I think, about 11th century, around 6th century, there was a king in South India called King Arihant, and he was very much fond of this particular character. So he officially established the austerity under imitation of Lord Rishabhdev, and he established Jaina Dharma. King Arihant established Jainism. Jainism is atheism. And they are describing about the Tirthankaras that happened to be very, very not only prophetic but also very, very advance in tolerance. Jain simultaneously came little after the Buddhism spread, right? But Buddhism was not giving any credibility to austerity. But instead of coming into the influence of Buddhism, a similar voidist philosophy was also adopted by this King Arihanta. Jains are basically atheists. They took Rishabdev as the original Tirthankar, means he was purified. In same Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Srimad Bhagavatam is its study is undertaken, then you will see Tirthinkurvanti Tirthani, those who are purified devotees of the Lord, they roam about and wherever they go they create Tirtha. They create a purified atmosphere. So one does not necessarily have to go to a Tirtha to get purified. But nonetheless, their idea that these Tirthankars are supposed to be freely roaming for the benefit of the people and trying to bring them out from sense gratificatory life. But funny thing is that it was a blind imitation. And if it is not ordained by the descendants of Rishabdev himself, how is it that it become a valid religion? So therefore, there are 24 Tirthankars in there, including Mahavir and so many, that happen to be very austere, and we study during the spread of Buddhist kingdom, the entire India, almost entire India was transformed into Buddhist, you know, there is atheism. And there are great saints like Ashok and Bimbisara and so many. So some of the South Indian states came under the influence of these Tirthankars, and they were also very much... But there is hardly any state acceptance of this Jainism, even though they proliferated, you know. But then there became some moderate Jains, you know. They thought that, well, we have to be civilized, and so they accepted the Svetambara. Svetambara means the white cloth. But those who are Digambars means no cloth. And it is a blind imitation for those who are out of bodily conception of life. How would you compare even Sukadeva Goswami? You know, he was wandering about naked. You know, he was totally away from the bodily conception of life. So, but they are trained by going through rigorous austerities. And some are appreciable austerities, but not recommended austerities. The Jains will pluck up their hairs, you know, growing anywhere and everywhere. And they want to be, but only by hand. It's a painful torture on the body. This extreme torture of the body is not like voluntary penance. Rather, it is induced under some frenzy of so many, you know, allurement. The Jain Diksha they give, even the ladies take Diksha. There are more ladies joining than the male. It's a little reverse proportion. But abuse will be also found there. And The Digambar said, you know, they will go around naked still in India. They are revered, but they are not much appreciated. But within the community, they are worshipped. So the idea is that this was undertaken under blind imitation, what Srila Prabhupada says. And even Srimad Bhagavatam tells about this. So, King Rishabhdev was very, very empowered incarnation. To establish the absolute truth, he chose in that particular time and space about being austere. And he taught his 100 sons the austerity. You know, we see that the first one is Bharat Maharaj, you know, and who is glorious to establish the Vedic religion throughout the whole planet, called Bharatvarsha. And this tract of land, which is now known as Bharat, is very insignificant portion. All right, but nonetheless, the Vedic culture sprang up from that land. It's also important to understand that nine sons were given when Bharata Maharaj retired. Rishabhdev also divided the different tracts of land, you know, to nine sons. But 81 chose to become, you know, Brahmanas, twice born, because they were much more into the sense gratificatory activity through karmakanda, ritualistic ceremonies. So, but these nine, the remaining nine, are very celebrated as nine Yogendras, or very exalted personalities, who were simply, you know, working hard to establish the absolute truth by preaching. So, in our preaching movement, at least we can take up the same spirit, but it's not necessarily we have to go around naked. You know? But these Navayogendras are very, very exalted personality of God. So this defies and disapproves the Jainism. Because you can see that the 100 sons who were the order carriers of his or their father, Bharat Maharaj is very well celebrated, and he was a devotee, and he transmigrated into deer life and Jad Bharat's life. But that shows the lacks in cultivating Krishna consciousness seriously. And the emergence of other 81 for Karmakanda, it teaches that they followed Vedic path. They followed Vedic path of ritualistic ceremonies. And the nine are transcendentalists who are vigorously preaching the absolute knowledge of absolute truth. So, how is it possible that not coming in that tradition, either of Karmakanda or either of the spreading the knowledge of absolute truth, you know, the Jains are completely of a different opinion. Even today there is a big tussle. The Digambars, those who are walking naked, they don't coincide with the Shvetambars within there, who are liberal, you know. And what to speak, the language that was developed during that area is Pali, and it's offshoots of Sanskrit. It was completely a branching off by deviation. It did not inherit the same teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. They still worship Rishabhdev as Adi Tirthankar, the original of all the 24. But none of the boys of Lord Rishabhdev are taken into consideration. So there is a big gap. Probably more than a generation gap is there, where after Rishabhdev there are other Tirthankars and none of his own children who are so exalted, you know, at least 10 are more exalted, you know. So there is some reference of King Arihant also coming probably in the same chapter, if we can find out. In that one, in the fourth canto. Okay, but not in here. This chapter is totally devoted to the nine Yogendras and their response to King Nini's inquiries. Right. The fourth canto may have some. Do we have fourth canto? Yeah, just get it. Because it's very important that what Srila Prabhupada writes about this. This gives us the prelude of the teachings of the nine Yogendras. So, look in the index, you'll find out quickly. It says in this particular translation that these nine remaining sons were greatly fortunate. The fortune is received by, in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they are devotees, you know. They may be expert in so many branches of King Nimi's inquiry, but still their entire focus is geared on surrender to the Supreme Lord. That's what makes one fortunate. And it is also said that they worked vigorously to spread the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, means they are missionaries. They are missionaries. Missionary activity to spread out the knowledge of the Absolute Truth is very much appreciated here. You know. Got it?
Sorry,
you got in first canto?
Fifth.
Fifth, okay. Arhat is another name, 230 to 231. And activities of Lord Rishabhdev himself has been described. Okay. This is in 5th canto, 6th chapter, verse number 9. Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, the king of Konka, Venka, Kutaka, whose name was Arhat, heard the activities of Rishabhdev and, imitating Rishabhdev's principles, introduced a new system of religion. Taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity, the king Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles, which are free from risk, and concocted a new system of religion opposed to the Vedas. That was the beginning of Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions followed this atheistic system." This is the reference. When Lord Krishna, in the purport Srila Prabhupada says, was present on this planet, a person named Paundraka imitated 400 Narayan and declared himself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He desired to compete with Krishna. Similarly, during time of Lord Rishabhdev, the king of Konka, Venka, acted like a Paramahamsa and imitated Lord Rishabhdev. He introduced a system of religion and took advantage of the fallen condition of people in this age of Kali. It is said that Vedic literatures that people in this age will become more inclined to accept anyone as the Supreme Lord and accept any religious system opposed to Vedic principle. People in this age are described as mandasumandamatayaha. Generally, they have no spiritual culture and therefore they are very fallen. Due to this, they will accept any religious system due to their misfortune. They forget the Vedic principle, following the non-Vedic principle of this age. They think themselves the Supreme Lord and thus spread the cult of atheism all over the world. So, people who are lowest among men and bewildered by illusory energy of the Supreme Lord will give up the original Varnashram Dharma and its rules and regulations. They will abandon bathing 3 times daily and worshipping the Lord. Abandoning cleanliness and neglecting the Supreme Lord, they will accept nonsensical principles, not regularly bathing or washing their mouths regularly. They will also always remain unclean and they will pluck out their hair. Following a concocted religion, they will flourish during this age of Kali. People are more inclined to irreligious systems. Consequently, these people will naturally deride Vedic authority and the followers of the Vedic authority, the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees. This is the translation was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. Purport. Presently the hippies in the western countries fit this description. They are irresponsible and unregulated, they do not bathe and they deride standard Vedic knowledge. They concocted new lifestyle and religions. There are many hippies groups at the present moment, but they are all originated from King Arhat, who imitated the activities of Lord Rishabhdev and who was situated on the Paramahansa stage King Arhat did not care for the fact that although Lord Rishabhdev acted like madman, his stool and urine were nonetheless aromatic, so much so that they all nicely scented the countryside for miles around. The followers of King Arhat went under the name Jains, and they were later followed by many others, particularly by the hippies, who are more or less offshoots of Mayavad philosophy because they think themselves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such people do not respect the real followers of Vedic principle, the ideal Brahmanas, nor do they have respect for the Vedic principle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Brahman, due to the influence of this age of Kali, they are apt to concoct false religious system. Again, Sukadeva Goswami tells that low-class people, due to their gross ignorance, introduce a system of religion that deviates from the Vedic principle. Following their own mental concoction, they automatically fall down in the darkest region of existence. In this connection, one may see Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, where in the description of fall down of the asuras have been given. Prabhupada says text number 12, I am avataro rajo apsalolutha kaivalyo parikshinartha. In this age of Kali, people are overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Rishabhdev reincarnated himself to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. The symptoms of Kali Yuga are predicted in 12th canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lavanyam Keshadharanam. It is predicted how the fallen souls will behave. They will keep long hair and consider themselves very beautiful. They will pluck out their hair as Jains do. They will also keep themselves unclean and will not wash their mouths. Jains refer to Lord Rishabhdev as their original preceptor. If such people are serious followers of Rishabhdev, they must also take his instruction. In the 5th chapter of this canto, Rishabhdev, his 100 sons, the instructions were that could become free from the clutches of Maya. If one actually follows Rishabhdev, he will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya and return home back to Godhead. If one strictly follows the instructions of Rishabhdev given in 5th chapter, he will certainly be liberated. Lord Rishabhdev incarnated specifically to deliver these fallen souls. Right. So we see this is corroborated by Srimad Bhagavatam itself. It's not some imagination. This particular reference is given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. It's funny thing that the moderate Jains do accept by conceding to this verdict, they do accept. If you go in Rajasthan and Abu Dilwara and other holy places of Jain, beautiful marble temples have been created where Lord Rishabhdev and other Tirthankars are also being worshipped. But they concede to the Vaishnava devotees, they invite them to come and recite Srimad Bhagavatam in these temples. Jains themselves, they say, we don't believe. But it is the same Rishabhdev. So, the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev are thus been accepted by a so-called compromise between some liberals. Some liberals. And there was a period in Indian history to see, beautiful architecture and fervor for worshipping. Lord Uddhava was there. And this tradition is still going on. Whenever a devotee goes there, they will welcome him. And they will be glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. That we do have Bhagavat Katha here. In Jain temple. Otherwise, in the city dweller temple, you don't find. In Digambar's temple, you are not invited even. They keep it a very seclusive aspect. There is a courtyard in their temple where the sadhus pass to, and then they are supposed to smear and spread. But it's a stinking place, unclean, this is not a clean habit. It's a blind imitation, It reminds them that the body is nothing but stool. But then why to play around with the stool? It doesn't make much sense. So, the young kids out there in India, we have seen they are playing around the stool, as if there is something new, unseen before. They are mesmerized by that. So, Maya tricks, in this way. Kali Yuga is very, very treacherous because even a sane person would not know how Maya is going to trick him. However, he may put all his efforts and, to get away. Generally, Jains are very rich families. Very rich families, So their ritualistic ceremonies are also rich. They spend a lot of money for their temples, nice and artistic temples. But as far as the personal character, it is deep down, sunken into, materialism. And there is no austerity, no austere life in common people's mind. It's a big gap. Somehow or another, I happened to meet a Jain devotee who virtually risked his life, business and everything from the torture of his family members. He is attending our Punjabi Bhakt temple in Delhi. So he was telling me his entire story. And virtually they are all atheists, and because I am becoming a Hare Krishna, they are all threatening me that they will take me to the court. A businessman, rich, filthy businessman. I said, others, cannot face, probably this person is trying to, preserve his happiness amongst the association of the devotees. So, is that? Jains do not call themselves Hindus even. Simply on the strength of, the truth derived through austere self-abnegation, denial. But it is not Vedic principle. So they are anti-Vedic, therefore they are not Hindus, they call it. They don't want to call themselves Hindus. The Sikhs did take advantage of the same nature. Because of Arya Samaj, they were having a very tough time during that time. Muslim persecution was there, and instead of uniting, the Arya Samaj went and criticized even the Hindus to worship idols, And Sikhs were actually Sankirtan devotees, but they became militant, So in this way we see this blind imitation in following the rules and regulations, things have created havoc. The moderate Jains are appreciating because they see very clearly that there is a link of their origin, But they use mixed up philosophies. So generally it's Mayavad. Mixed up philosophy means Mayavad. And they go for, yoga system, they go for worship of Ganesh and Lakshmi especially. They are fond of, May not be Narayan directly. Rishabhdev is, after all, incarnation. He is Narayan, He is the origin. They consider Krishna to be one of the Tirthankas and yet to come. He has not yet come. So there are concocted philosophies in that. But as far as the authority of Shastra is concerned, we have to, match it out. Then whether these teachings are conducive or not. But when Srila Sukadeva Goswami himself describes about King Arhat, they call it Arihanta, it means Jainism was there before. Sukadeva Goswami is describing means Jainism must be before, but is now being repeated. Srila Prabhupada says they reincarnated himself, even in modern times. So, the teachings of nine yogendras will definitely make a very big distinction between, the inheritance that Jains took, while these nine directions, took. So, to uphold the absolute truth, they were fully dedicated, and they were preaching around all over. So King Nimi happens to receive them, and all his inquiries in all different fields of the absolute truth, the knowledge, has been satisfied by them, because they were expert in those branches. So, this is another historical prelude that we should... the systematic teachings will be starting. Now the glorification of the nine yogendras will be described, and we'll see what kind of characters are there. So anybody has any question?
Question from Maharaj yesterday's class. You were saying that sometimes like lusty desires, so if they pop up in the mind, the lusty desires, so how should we control
Be intelligent. Face the consequences before they arise. Be warned. Lusty desires are not freely coming. They are coming with a tag, a price tag. If person is not determined, then they will pop up. And they will make them like a compulsive gambler, spend the whole life after it. So, the intelligence is first invested, and try to check out intelligently. Intelligence should guide the mind, and scrutinize this. How much should I pay in my life for the lusty desire? You think you don't have enough intelligence? Ask Krishna, he will give you.
Sometimes what happens, like, we still think we try to apply our intelligence, but then it just...
Then be a gentleman. Take up the, you know, responsibility for, you know, all the entanglement in a calculated way. You have to pay. You know, don't regret, oh, I made a mistake. A gentleman is promising. So there are guidelines, you know, even after getting, you know, legally married with Krishna consciousness in, we can curb, you know, lusty desires. There is a process. Always remind yourself of the obligation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that He is allowing you to enter into an ideal grihastha life. So execute His function. Execute Lord's function through that. And that guidance can be given by Krishna's representative. So gradually grow from it. Don't become knowingly a victim and then come and take shelter. No, no, no. Pay for it. You can't run away. Is it not? So, because it's the attack of the modes of material nature, and the body is composed of the modes of material nature. So therefore, it is natural that this thing will come. But if you are not equipped intelligently, you know, with the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, that is your own wealth, soul's wealth. You know, don't get too much entangled, so you can't liberate yourself. As much is required, take up the process and then carry on. Our aim is there. Krishna gives opportunity to act in artha kaam. And again gives opportunity to become retired, because the body will be invalid. But then you should take up the process that the deep down attachment within that lusty mind should be curbed through that intelligence. If not now, it will be at least then.
Like, how should we think in terms of intelligence? How should we think so that the desires...
The intelligence is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Warnings are there. And if we heed to the warnings, you know, then we become cautious while getting it entangled. Entangled means there will be suffocation comes. There will be compulsory responsibility laden. As a head of the household, one has to be expertly dealing but simultaneously remain detached from within. That is intelligence. That these guidance are given. The Guru gives all along the way, you know. So don't be afraid. It's an attack. But before you are taken as a prisoner and thrown in the dark dungeon called Griha Andhakupam, then what do you have? You seek for the opportunity. How to make the best use of that bad bargain? You have been given the term imprisonment, right? The term is there. How to finish the term, how to get on the parole, you know, how to behave in such a way that the custodian of the jail, then they will allow us, you know. So these are very intelligent, you know, steps one can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. The big kings, you know, the king of the whole earth, when it comes to retire, you know, he sees his whole kingdom is nothing but stool, worthless stool. He gives up everything. Because only the savior for the soul is the Supreme Lord. So he surrenders to him and hands over the kingdom to his son. Rishabdev did. And Bharat executed. King Bharat executed. And he also retired. Right? It took 3 lives for Bharat to get salvation. But for Rishabdev, because he was empowered, and the empowerment came from Krishna. So intelligence is also empowerment. It comes from Krishna. So you can beg. Krishna says that.
What you're saying is that we have to approach Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
Of course. Yeah, but Krishna says, Matta sarvasya chaham radesannivisto. I am sitting in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Matta smritir jnana pohanam cha. From me, remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness, 3 comes. Right? So, now, what do you want? Do you want smriti, means remembrance of your original? Suppose in the past life you have advanced a little bit. And this life you are given opportunity to get more advancement, right? So, you want to remember how much advancement you did in past life. The smriti will be given by Krishna. Because you're going to progress pretty fast if you have smriti. You don't have to start all over. Right? Okay, if you don't require that smriti because you know, oh well, I don't know what is my past life. And actually, I'm coming in association, that is a big deal, you know, with the devotees. But you are also taking up a process that is greater deal. Alright? And when you become regulated and get initiated, it's the biggest deal that you will strike. The point is, realization will come through following the process. So, jnana is there. Divya jnana. By getting initiation, you get divya jnana. So, realization is there. But if you say, who the hell cares? Everywhere there is Maya, even temple in Maya, let me get out from here. You know? Everywhere. So, bye-bye Krishna. So Krishna says, you want to forget? Okay, wait. I will create such a situation for you that you will forget me. You cannot do otherwise. Because this impressions of devotion is very, very lasting long. That is carried in the next life too. Right? So what do you want? What is your desire? What is your determination? Become a devotee. And take up the responsibility of devotee. You know, can't remain brahmachari? No determination? Okay, get married. Get married and be regulated by sanskaras. Be regulated. But these are all the sanskaras, they are going to remind you of Lord Shri Krishna's interference in your life. That for His sake you have to get married. Yajna, get ready to sacrifice by vivaha. Viva yajna. Yajna means Vishnu. Yajna yavai Vishnu. Right? So in this way, we get into the interactions of Maya, you know, because it is going to increase. Striyam punsam maithuni bhavam etat tayor ahur radaya granthi syu ata griha kshetra aptavittaihi janasya mohoyam ahamameti. This is the risk. But take a calculated risk. How much calculated? Get advice from the Guru. You know, and he will guide you. Just try to live simple, so you will be least affected. You know, remain detached internally by remembering Krishna, Krishna, in every action. Otherwise, the mode of passion and ignorance is going to pound you. Many a times we see the parents are begetting cats and dogs type of children, you know. And they carry on. That the modern civilization is very, very, you know, proficient by neglecting the responsibility. Right? And you see, out of that, in ignorance, if you are getting chance to become Krishna consciousness, understand the responsibility towards Krishna, is it not great fortune? To become a devotee is the most fortunate. It doesn't deny you you will not be affected by the three modes, you know. You will be, but it will also equip you simultaneously to stand against them. In as much surrender you have to Krishna, that much strength you will get reciprocatingly. So, don't be afraid. This is called life, this is called sansa. You are creating, you will pay for it. Right? Sometimes you are paying even for the past. Sometimes we unpaid activity is there. So you will be paying this time. So it will be added. Don't be surprised where it has come from. I don't believe it. I don't deserve it. No. A devotee gets educated in how to thank Krishna in every reactionary aspect, that it's getting over, it's getting over. So, in this way you will become liberated. You will never create another entanglement for next life. Is it not? Otherwise, by not becoming devotee of Krishna, you are risking even your future. That's a big deal. Right? So that is a systematic procedure and guidance that one has to be conversant, and it is available. There is always a room for all of us without any collision or overriding. You know, the Vedas are so immense that they will fit us. You know, it's not that, oh, I'm not fitting in the Vedic style. If you want to give up, that's your prerogative. But you will not be fortunate. You know, to be born in Vedic tradition or to acquire Vedic tradition is a big deal. That's the core of civilization. Rest is barbarians. You know? It's barbaric, uncivilized. Prabhupada talks very sternly on the modern civilization. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki.